Jackets, free minds, free people. This is a production of the Commonwealth Foundation for Public Policy Alternatives. The Box. Inside. Outside. On.
Hello and welcome to The Box podcast. My name is Priya Abraham and I'm a senior policy analyst with the Commonwealth Foundation and I will be your host today. And today we're talking to a couple of teachers, Keith Williams and Julie Robb, who I met through a project that we started about a year ago. I focus and specialize on education policy, and we started the Free to Teach project as a way to engage public school educators on the issues that matter to them. So Keith and Julie, welcome to the program, and we're really glad to have you on.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks for the invite. Good to be here.
Well, I just wanted to start out with basically asking you what you do, who you are, and where you teach.
Yeah, my name's Keith Williams. I'm actually a high school English teacher down here in Adams County at New Oxford High School. And I'm actually this is the start of my 14th year now. Been in the same district for 14 years.
What about you, Julie?
I'm Julie Robb. I teach in the Central Dauphin School District. I'm currently a librarian, K-5 elementary. Prior to that, I taught in the classroom third grade for about 18 years before switching over to the library. So it's kind of nice switch to get all the different levels.
Julie, what got you into teaching?
Probably, I'm the oldest of four children, so I was just raised taking care of the younger ones. And my father was a teacher, so it just seemed the natural course of things to enter into the teaching field.
What got you interested in teaching, Keith?
No, I had a lot of very very positive experiences with teachers, particularly in high school. It really kind of lit a fire in me, sometimes motivationally, sometimes educationally. And I really, looking back on that, realized the impact that they had on me. I wanted to pass that on. So it wasn't so much, you know, while I do love my content area and I love English and teaching language, it really was more the actual art of teaching that really inspired me to get involved.
You know, that is one of the goals of the Free to Teach project, is just to equip teachers to have that kind of passion and freedom to teach. And one of the issues that we engage teachers on is basically how the teaching profession works in Pennsylvania. I wanted to talk a little bit about the teachers' unions in Pennsylvania. The two main teachers' unions, the Pennsylvania State Education Association and the Pennsylvania Federation of Teachers, together represent about 217,000 public school employees. That's pretty much everyone in the state who's involved in public schools. So how would you describe the relationship between unions and teachers in Pennsylvania?
I think kind of a parasitic situation where the unions just kind of feed off of the teachers. They have a closed caption audience, as it were, I think. I think they see, in my opinion, they see teachers as cash cows. They get money from the teachers to support their causes. Many teachers do agree with the union and do support them, but there are many that just belong to the union. They see them as liability insurance, so they join for that reason, and that's their protection. Not necessarily that they agree with their causes or the things the union supports. So there are definitely some teachers that I know that fully support the union and everything they do, but there are many more that are just in it for the liability, and many more who just go along because they don't know any better. They just feel they need to join the union because that's what everybody does.
Yeah, and I actually, you know, I think Julie was right on the same track I was thinking about here. She was talking, it's the cash cow mentality, and, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Right.
And at the end of the day, as long as we're all making money off of it, then everybody's happy. And that's, you know, again, keeping in mind that we're speaking in generalizations, and I think that's the danger in it, is that, you know, a lot of the people I've worked with for 14 years are very passionate about their union, and they truly believe that they need that union. They need that representation. And, you know, if that goes away, then boogeyman's going to come. And it's a hard thing to see, knowing that as a teacher of 14 years and also a coach, you know, I coach track and cross country almost, well, now I've been out of it for a few years, but there for a while I had actually been coaching longer than I'd been teaching. You know, one year I was a union member my first year of teaching, because again, that's when they get you. You know, you come in as a new teacher and they put their arm around you and, hey, you need the liability coverage. You need to protect. You're a young guy. You're vulnerable. You know, like somebody could make false accusations against you. You need this extra protection. And of course, you know, you just go along really out of ignorance. I think teachers have an inherent sense of trust. We want to trust people. It's kind of that altruistic mentality, I think, that you see in teachers. We don't want to think people are out to take advantage of us. Yeah, as the years have gone by and with some of the things that have gone on, for better or for worse, I'm a little more cynical about it now. So that's kind of where things are. You know, again, it's tough to see because, you know, a lot of these people that are very passionate about it and are very opinionated about it and think they're doing the right thing are also people that they're your close colleagues and coworkers and, you know, in a lot of cases, friends. Yeah, it's a tough situation.
It is. The union is just so entrenched. I mean, it's been there. There are so many. I'm entering my 27th year of teaching, and the union has always been there. And there are many, many new teachers with probably 6 years or less. I mean, the union is all they know, all they've heard. They've had to, in my district, they've had to join the union because we have been closed shop for 10 or 11 years now.
And what does that mean, closed shop?
That we are forced by our employer to pay a private organization to keep our jobs. If we do not join the union or become a fair share payer, then we could lose our jobs. To me, that is basically extortion. Pay this private entity or lose your job, which is just a terrible thing. I think, you know, I was a valued employee for 18, 19 years, and then all of a sudden the unions come in and say, hey, if they don't give us money, you need to fire them. So that just seems, something should be illegal about that in my view. Yeah, it just seems like overnight, sorry, we're going to fire you. You are no longer a good teacher because you're not paying money to this private group.
As a friend of mine put it in a post that he had not too long ago, it's funny to find out that after teaching for 14 years, I've been a freeloader.
Yes.
You know, and that's kind of the label that you get. Well, the implication is, well, now you have to pay your fair share. Well, I've been working here 14 years. Does that, you know, conversely, then that means that I must have been a freeloader for 14 years. I wasn't pulling my weight. I wasn't paying for all these things you represented me for but never asked me for my opinion.
That's the key. They don't ask for your opinion, or they ask for it, and if it's opposite of their view, they push it to the side and don't hear it.
Right.
Tyranny of the majority. Yes. Yeah.
Well, let me just, I think in the last few minutes, the both of you said several things that are probably going to shock a lot of folks who are listening, because they don't think the views that you have as teachers are very apparent or very common. Do you feel like there are more teachers out there who feel as you do, or do you feel like your views are represented?
My views are not represented, for sure, within the union, no. I do think there are other teachers out there, but I think many are just, some are fearful to speak up because it seems that the people that are pro-union, they are very loud and boisterous. They get their point across. There are many teachers as well that are just go along because they don't want to be bothered. They can't be bothered. They're busy with their lives, other things, and so it's just easier just to go along, even if they don't agree. Yeah.
I know for us, this whole realization when the union went to fair share, kind of like me, I know, Priya, when you and I talked, you know, and I had that deer in the headlights look, how did that happen? There were a lot of people who, I mean, it was the same thing across the board. People in our district didn't know that this could actually happen legally, like that they could actually garnish your wages and claim that they represent you while at the same time excluding you from everything and anything that they've ever done and will ever do unless you become a full fee payer. I think it angered a lot of people. And when I say a lot, I would say there's, I think, roughly 75 faculty members in our building. And of those 75, I would say probably about a dozen are irritated enough to follow through on their Hudson notices and refuse to pay out of, you know, religious objection or whatever they need to do to make it not happen. And I think, unfortunately, you know, on the political end of things, I think it's unfortunate that a lot of politicians view public educators as a union. Once you have the label of public teacher, you become synonymous with PSEA NEA. And even a lot of the union members who are very pro-union acknowledge that they don't politically agree at all with PSEA NEA, but they like the local union. There's a large number of people who are very supportive of their local union, and the need to keep local control as legislators start talking about how they're going to improve testing and what they're going to do with education, and the teachers are, you know, in the background going, hey, listen, but we get labeled a bunch of unionists, so...
In my own personal case, there were years I joined the union when I first started, and then I dropped out, and I joined. It was back and forth, and there were several years where I wanted to just join or support my local union, but was told I could not do that unless I joined all three. And so I didn't join, and I just paid dues, even though I was not a member then. I just paid dues to my local union to support them. But I do think there are many, many people who would support just their local union to keep the ideas and their support local, but they don't want to. They don't agree with a lot of the PSEA and NEA positions, but we're forced to. It's all or none.
That sounds like a problem. From what I understand, the reason that's the case is because of the way unionism works in Pennsylvania. It's called a unified dues system, where if you're a member of your local union, you have to be a member of the state union and the national union as well. You can't just decide to pay your local or any other segment of that union. And we were discussing fair share fees, and just to give our listeners some context, this is legally allowed in Pennsylvania. Fair share fees, or what's known as agency shop, is practiced in most school districts in Pennsylvania, I think over 70% of them. And it basically means that teachers who decide not to join the union still have to pay a portion of union dues to the union in order just to keep their jobs, to stay employed. And Keats School District is one that recently just went agency shop, so it's a very recent phenomenon for him. And let me just play devil's advocate for a second here. Why are you not freeloaders? If the union is negotiating on everyone's behalf for the salaries and benefits that you get, and you so far haven't been paying union dues, why is it not fair for them to charge you a fee to do that?
Well, I don't consider myself a freeloader. I was never asked whether I wanted them to represent me. And I feel perfectly confident in my abilities as a teacher to represent myself, let my teaching practices speak for itself, as it were. If my employer feels that I'm doing a good job, you know, I'm happy to negotiate with them. If they feel I'm not doing a good job, then they are free to dismiss me. I think that's how you keep and get better teachers into the profession. You know, if I felt the union was of value to me, I would support them, not have a problem with that. But I don't feel, since I wasn't given the choice, that I should be called a freeloader. They just came in, they said, this is what we're doing, we're representing you, like it or not, and so I have no choice in the matter.
Right, so it's basically, you don't get a lot of professional freedom when it comes to this issue.
No. And I did belong for 1 year. I thought, well, I was going to get involved. I was the our building rep. I went to the committee meetings. This was prior to a negotiating year. And I saw how things worked inside. Suggestions were brought from members. Things that were not liked by the leadership were pushed aside. Suggestions of things that they wanted to bargain for. Again, if it wasn't something that the leadership or the Uniserv rep from PSEA felt was something worthy of going after, it was pushed aside. And they're completely turned me off the idea. We don't have any say. Basically, PSEA comes in with their agenda, what they want to push. And again, they're getting their salaries based on what we're getting. So they're pushing for a lot of things to serve themselves through us. And I don't feel that's fair representation.
One of the eye-openers for me was seeing the salaries of the Uniserv reps.
Right. Totally based on the starting wage of new teachers. And sorry to interrupt you, but that's...
No, that's okay. No, keep going.
They hammered. We have to raise starting teacher salary. We have to raise it, And because that is solely based... I mean, that's how their salary is based on. The starting salary across the board in Pennsylvania, Uniserv salaries are based on that. So that was their main push, raise those salaries, raise them. It didn't matter what else we wanted to focus on, you know, as far as education, educational credits, getting things reimbursed that way. No, it was salary, strictly salary, and push on the new teachers to raise that salary so that they would have their wages raised.
So how do you feel that unions affect your ability to work as an educator?
I would say generally pretty benign. Aside from the recent pickpocketing that's apparently imminent, you know, I would be concerned about the value of my contribution based on some of the things that I've seen, you know, show me why it costs what it does. I mean, they can show the numbers, they can pull the P&Ls and, you know, run all the statistics and show us their accounting. But at the end of the day, you know, you show up, your kids show up, and you do your job, and I'm not sure where all the overhead comes, but it's like any other cash cow type setup where they've got the leverage, and they're looking for the quick buck. When I look at the situation many of us are in our district right now, you know, I was told not to make it a personal issue, to which my response is, when your coworkers that you've worked side by side with for 14 years, who you consider professionals, suddenly reach into your wallet and say, we deserve this, and we're going to take it by force, then, yeah, you know, it does get a little personal. And I think the union's contribution has been one of polarization, you know, and it's not been a positive thing, I guess.
Yeah, in the day-to-day teaching, I don't think the union has been of a benefit or a detriment. I mean, they're just a non-entity in the day-to-day teaching that we do with the children. I don't think many people realize that the school districts are there for you as well. They represent you if something occurs in your day-to-day teaching profession that you are being sued. I mean, the district is going to come in, and they are going to represent you as well as themselves. So I think many people have a false idea of that. But just in the day-to-day teaching, the union is not of any benefit to aiding the children, which is what we're there for.
Do you think the unions have students' best interests at heart?
No, I don't. I think they're out for themselves. They are, after all, an employees' union. Now, they like to say that they're there for the children, but they are, in effect, an employees' union. You know, we are employees. They are our union. They're not a children's union. They're out for themselves, what they can get for themselves. So no, I don't think they're there for the detriment of children, certainly not. But no, I don't see that as their main focus, and that's one of the things that they like to present themselves as, for the children, and they're there to, but they're there to collect their money, push their agenda. They are an employees union.
Well, in case in point, you know, our district up until this recent renegotiation, we were not fair share. Now that the district, in terms of funding, has its back against the wall and they need some leverage, you know, in the budget, the union kind of has them in a situation where, okay, now we've got the upper hand. If you know, if the budget is as tight as it is, what are you going to give us that you've never been willing to give us before? And here we are now with the fair share situation. So, you know, again, when we're talking about the union, we're talking about the entity of the union. And, you know, I know plenty of people who are in the union who consider themselves union members, but they're very, very concerned about kids and do an awesome job in our building with, you know, organizing community activities and doing things with the kids. And but in general, when you talk about, when you look at the business, the executives in the union, it just, I guess it amazes me that people continue to miss the elephant that's standing right in front of them.
Mm-hmm. So do you think at this point we need teachers' unions?
If we were not forced to belong, if it was voluntary, I don't see a problem with the union. If people feel that they are getting a benefit from them, they will join and be happy. I don't think people should be forced because, I don't know, that's un-American. Force us to do this. I don't think there is a need for it. As far as workplace issues, you know, we have federal laws, state laws that protect workers with those types of things. We have fabulous teachers before the unions came in. There are fabulous teachers that are here in the union. I don't think the union makes a fabulous teacher person, either is or they aren't. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, to kind of go along with that, I would say, and I might be over-guessing here, but I don't think so, half of our union membership that is either active because of their concern for liability or active because it's just a habit. You know, they don't know any different. They haven't ever really thought about it. They pay their dues and go about their business, you know, or they want that local representation. I would say, you know, half of them fall into that category. And, you know, the other half would be your typical PSEA, NEA, you know, politically motivated and very one-sided politically motivated type of people who, you know, we would ordinarily kind of lump together as the union. And I guess that's kind of the tragedy and the frustration for me is I see a lot of people who are in it just because that's what they know or out of fear.
Well, this is a great discussion. I just want to tell our listeners that we're going to continue this conversation in a second segment, but for the moment, I just want to thank Julie and Keith, and we'll welcome them back next time and appreciate your perspective. It's a valuable one, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.